KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
As well as days where you get into work, you start doing what you do, and you go, man, Lord, thank you, Lord, not only for provision to provide for family and others, but Lord, thank you for the work that doesn't feel like work. You know, sometimes you're just hanging out talking to others in the body of Christ. We're going to be doing some of that today. Later in the show, Paul Gessing comes on from the Rio Grande Foundation. We're going to cover relevant issues to you and those around you. If you're a New Mexican, you'll want to stick around to hear from Paul. I want to throw this out too, because it's still on our website in the Action Center at klyt.fm. I was on the phone with a friend who lives in Northwest Indiana. And if you've been following the news, you know, the flooding in Northwest Indiana, not so much dealing with the flooding, but yesterday, after that severe storm they had like over a week ago, he just got electricity back, sent me pictures of the home with trees down. There was a tornado near him in Northwest Indiana. Pray for our friend Rich. They're walking through, but not just them, others that need relief. And Samaritan's Purse is a great organization that does this, whether after tornadoes, fires, all these fires across the country that we've seen, earthquakes, including, what we see in South America, famine. You can be a vital part of that through prayer, volunteering your time, or your financial support. Go to klyt.fm in the Action Center, and in the slideshow there, you'll see Samaritan's Purse. Just click on it. I think it's directed towards the fires near Spokane. So you can surf the site and find other areas to participate in that ministry. But certainly do be praying for those that are dealing with their own disasters. With big disasters, and then we know that really, it put a microscope on it, a magnifying glass. Each person really having their own disaster they're dealing with, and it makes it very personal. So Samaritan's Purse doing some great work here in Albuquerque. Lots of great parachurch organizations and churches doing the work of the gospel. One of them is the 505 Evangelistic Association, otherwise known as 505 Church. We've told you about them before, 505.church. It's as simple as that for the website. We'd encourage you to go there and find out more. But in studio with us, Pastor Matthew Malden and his wife, or his daughter, Mika Ray, is here. Is it always Mika Ray, or is it?
Most people know me as Mika.
Okay. Okay.
But my dad introduces me as Mika.
Well, Dad's
Ray.
Here. Dad's right here. So I'm going to say Mika Ray. We'll make Dad happy. No, Matthew, I consider you a friend and a brother and co-laborer. I appreciate all that you do. And for those not familiar, it's been a little while since we had you on. Remind them what 505 Church is, or 505 Evangelistic Association is. Yeah.
Thanks, Stephen. Hello, Albuquerque. Yes, so we exist to make Christ known, and we strengthen churches, so we help other Christians find their courage to speak out about Christ and training or just joining us. A lot of the events that we hold and do is not beholden to any particular church, but we welcome other churches to come alongside of us. Christians, come find your voice. One of the things we have, as you're probably about to note, is Ask the Pastor, part of our Christ on Campus initiative, August 27th at UNM. So we invite students to come up, but we need people to pass out pizzas and pray for people and things of that nature.
Well, let's get that on the calendar too, if you're listening. Coming up August 27th, that's a week from today, a Thursday at UNM. And kind of paint the picture there, Matthew, for what happens at an event like that on next Thursday.
Sure. So not quite as popular as Charlie Kirk, as you'd imagine, but something similar. So we set up tables. We get there beforehand. I might be serving donuts or whatever, let the kids come ask what's going on. And then right for an hour from 12 to 1, there's kind of a sweet spot really from 12:15 to 12:45. We just enable them to come up and ask any questions they want about why the gospel is relevant, why Jesus. You could be an unbeliever or whatever. But the real action happens, if you ask me, around the table where people are having conversations and praying with these students.
Now, are these like analog conversations, just or are they amplified?
They're amplified. Okay. That 12-to-1 is only to get from UNM to actually amplify as well. So,
but that's why we also invite people to join us, because sometimes people are scared to walk up to the mic, but they're sitting there watching.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so the amplified part starts at
12-to-1.
Okay, but do you encourage people to get there early?
Yes, I set up. I'm usually setting up around 9:30 this time around, and so doing some things. They're asking questions. Hey, what's going on here? Say, hey, come back. But a lot of times, ministry can be done well before the event.
Well, and I'm imagining students showing up and, hey, I want to ask you something before you even get started.
Sure. Often.
And yeah, and you kind of, it's like we say here in radio, hey, save it for the radio. You know, save it for the microphone.
Yeah.
But a good chance, really, especially if people are showing up to support your efforts, be there to be praying for what's,
yes,
you know. I remember one time we were in Huntington Beach, and Ray Comfort was, you know, just setting up to do what he does on the street witnessing. And we walked up and said, hey, Ray, you came to our church. Hey, you know, he goes, hey, I'm glad you're here. He said, here's what I want you to do. Pray for hecklers, because they draw a crowd.
That's the third time he's told that story, but I like it every time.
Yeah.
It's very valuable.
Yeah. Well, I love what he does, and I love what you do.
Yeah.
And actually, people can, you know, morally support you just by being there, praying.
Thank you.
You're going to class. It's on UNM Friendly campus, but outside at 1 o'clock, you're going to class watching how to lovingly, without compromise, share the truth in a fallen world.
That's right, Steve. And, you know, that's one thing we need to remember, is that's an arena of influence on these young kids that we can't ignore. So we're doing it there. But, you know, I wanted to remind everybody that the following Saturday we'll be downtown doing something similar. We'll be street preaching, and we invite people to come up and having conversations with us. But I really want to, if we can, I want to seize the opportunity to inspire students, anybody that's on campus, to use their voice to come and be heard, not only there, but if you're a student at a college or another university,
high school
especially. That's really, when I was in high school, I was a new convert my senior year. Well, it should have been my senior year. I would have been a super senior, but I got saved at 17, and real quick, God dealt with me to preach the gospel there, and it turned into me reaching a lot of kids, but actually being on the other side of the principal, assistant principal's desk, and he's crying. But, you know, my daughter, Mikarace, heard me say that story as a pastor, but I really liked her to have a say about what it's like when you're trying to find your own way. You've heard your dad's stories, but you have to go in and live your own walk for Christ.
Yeah, no pressure, Mikarace.
Well, one of the things he forgot to mention is that he stood up on cafeteria tables and preached the gospel from a cafeteria table. And so, as you can imagine, growing up in a home where, you know, my dad's very much on fire and very unashamed of the gospel and outspoken. And so in my mind, you know, at the age of, I was about, I don't know how old I was, but about eighth grade, I remember specifically telling my mom, I was homeschooled my whole life. And at eighth grade, I told my mom, like, hey, how are these kids going to know the truth if nobody's there to tell them? And that was kind of the trigger of my mom and dad, like, hey, let's put them in public school. And it was a scary jump, I'm sure, for them. But at that young of an age, I saw the opportunity of that. You know, there's so many kids in our school and our generation today that are broken, especially, honestly, we're talking about high school and college, but I taught middle school. And at that middle school age, man, they're going through so much. And I mean, there's so many stories I could say of, you know, kids even attempting suicide when I was teaching in middle school, you know what I mean? And so, you know, no matter your age, there's people in your school that you're attending school that are going through, I mean, crazy stuff. And you are, you know, I saw it as a battlefield when my mom put me in middle school. And so, one of the things that I often tell people is that you don't have to be perfect. You have to be usable. And that's how God works. You know, as a lot of times people think, oh, I have to wait to get it all figured out or know what I'm going to say or do the right thing before I can start sharing the gospel. But you really don't. You need to be willing. And as my dad was saying, he stood up on cafeteria tables, and a part of me was terrified, like, oh, I'm never going to stand up on a cafeteria table, so I'm never going to preach the gospel. And then I started realizing there was another gentleman in our church that had mentioned he brought his Bible to school and just put it on his desk, and that was all that he did.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like,
Jesse.
Yeah, that was his name was Jesse. And so I remember hearing that too, and I'm like, man, I think I could do a little bit more than that, though. I think I could do more. But if that's what you feel, that's what you can do, start with that. And so one of the things that I often did is I looked for people that were sitting alone. And that was the way that I felt God was putting on my heart. And let me tell you, I'll be honest, there were some conversations that were awkward and weird and didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But then there was other conversations where I made friends with people that really didn't have anybody. I didn't know what was going on with their life. I didn't know what was happening. But sometimes just being kind and them knowing your name and knowing your face, and then they realize you're a Christian, it speaks volumes. You know, we don't always need to say the perfect things, but be the example of Christ to people.
I like that, not necessarily say the perfect things. And Matthew, I may have shared this before too, because what's coming to mind is, I'm going to date myself, an old Petra song,
yeah,
lift him up higher and higher, lift him up, set the world on fire. It doesn't take any Bible degree, just lift him up for the world to see. And as you were saying that, you know, when we were walking in, I mentioned I was a Young Life kid. And, you know, I got into Young Life because some guy was handing out invites to club at someone's house. It's a parachurch organization. It's like a youth group, if you're not familiar. But when he handed me the little piece of paper, it was the same kind of piece of paper you get for a kegger for a party, you know. And I'd be like, party? And he said, no, it's not really like church, but, you know, they talk about Jesus and stuff. And he said, but there's girls. So I was there, you know.
The lark.
Yeah, you know, I was there. And listening to the messages throughout the year, eventually made a decision for Christ. And after making a decision, when you were talking about a student and ways they can make themselves available to the work of the gospel.
Yeah.
And two things came to mind. One, I wasn't gifted a 74 Volkswagen, but I easily came into one. Dad handed it down, and I made payments on it. And as a Christian at that time, I was very thankful for what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lord, I'm going to glorify you in this.
Yes.
I'm going to fill this Volkswagen with kids
my first car.
To go to Young Life, know? And we did, you know, because there's underclassmen who don't drive.
Yes.
You know?
That's what my senior year, I felt like it was one of my most impactful years, specifically for that reason. I had a car, and hey, I was not necessarily giving them a ride to a church event, but I had to give them a ride to a competition. Yeah. And guess what? They're stuck in my car for 30 minutes.
That's
and they
right.
can't go anywhere.
That's
and
right.
So.
And another, you know, I'm going to give one more example, because you're talking about, you know, let the Holy Spirit do a work in you and be available is what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time, arcades, coin arcades were huge. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go to the arcade and I'd get the high score on Galaga. And back then you'd leave your three initials for high score. And, you know, people, friends, acquaintances, they're all watching. I get a high score and I put J-I-L. You know, my name's Stephen Thomas Ryman. And they go, J-I-L, what's that? I said, Jesus is Lord.
Baby.
you know, and it's as simple as that.
Cool.
I didn't know a lot of doctrine then.
Yeah.
You know, but I knew Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, let me throw something out there, too. I definitely want to promote our event, and I want to say that, you know, we'll be looking to be coming on here again in the future to elaborate a little more, but I will be remiss if I don't mention that New Beginnings Church is hosting something about the kids going back to school and sharing the gospel. That's Friday night at 7 and Saturday as well. So
God bless Pastor Mansfield.
Yeah, he's doing great with that. And the guy that's leading that organization, by the way, I met him on the phone.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I'm going to give out some information. So hopefully you either got your device out to get this information, or you're grabbing a pen and pad. I want you to write this down, because we've been visiting with Matthew Mauldin, Pastor Matthew Mauldin, and his daughter, Mika Ray. You know, working with 505 Evangelistic Association. We've had them on in the past, otherwise known as 505 Church. If you go to klyt.fm, if you forget, go there, go to organizations, you'll find 505 there. But you can go to 505.church to find out more about the organization. Now, if you want to join Matthew, and others are going to be out at UNM for that event on the microphone, that's August 27th, a week from today. The number to text is 505-796-2841. When we archive this segment later today, we'll include that phone number. So you just remember to go to abqconnect.online to find the number if you forget. But you can also email 505.church that I already mentioned, 505.church.ea@gmail.com. Putting a bow on our conversation, finishing it up here, Matthew, Mika Ray, any final comments?
Yes, don't miss the opportunity. You get it once. It's not the Eminem song. It's better than that. Live for Christ and make him known through your lips and your life.
Yeah. Mika?
I would just say that, you know, when you're getting up and growing older, you're going to become aware of more sin. So be also aware of the grace of God, because you want to be used, but don't let your sin, your mistakes make you feel defeated, because God's grace still covers those too.
Amen. And the Saturday following next Thursday, so a week from this Saturday, August 29th, Pastor Matthew's also doing a street witnessing event that you can be a part of. The same information to contact. Here's that phone number again, 505-796-2841. Matthew, Mika Ray, always great to hang out.
Same here. God bless you, man.
We turn around, the time's gone.
I know. We need a longer segment.
We will talk
about all sorts of things.
We will. Yeah. We'll make it happen. Well, listen, don't go away. We're going to come back, catch up with the president of Rio Grande Foundation. Paul Gessing is on deck. We'll come back with more after this on ABQ Connect.